The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, June 26, 2025. We'll begin today's reading with the article headlined, ISU Shooting Suspect Arrested, by Djack Alkier. Normal. One man has been arrested and charged with attempted murder in connection with an April 27th shooting that occurred inside the Bone Student Center at Illinois State University. Amer Thomas, 19, of Chicago, was arrested Tuesday in the city on preliminary charges of attempted murder, aggravated battery with the discharge of a firearm, and aggravated unlawful possession of a weapon, according to a Tuesday evening Facebook post from the ISU Police Department. The arrest followed an investigation by ISU PD with assistance from the Illinois State Police and McLean County State's Attorney's Office, according to the Facebook post. Thomas was arrested by U.S. Marshals, but it was not clear Tuesday evening where he was being held or which agency had custody of Thomas. ISU PD Chief Aaron Woodruff said Thomas is not affiliated with the university and the firearm used in the incident has yet to be recovered. Officers had responded around 7:40 p.m. Sunday, April 27th, for a report of shots fired at the Bone Student Center. Police had said the shooting was an isolated incident that occurred after a fight broke out between two groups of people. One person was injured and transported to a hospital that night for injuries that were considered non-life-threatening. The victim was not an ISU student, university police previously said. We recognize that waiting for the full results of an investigation can feel uncertain and unsettling, Woodruff stated in Tuesday's Facebook post. Throughout this process, our community's safety and well-being have remained our highest priorities. I want to thank our officers, dispatchers, and our law enforcement partners for their diligence, dedication, an unwavering commitment to the safety of our campus community. A booking photo was not available Wednesday. The next local story is entitled, Tazewell County Receives Awards, by Olivia Jacobs. Pekin. Tazewell County has been awarded 10 achievement awards from the National Association of Counties in categories that include from arts and culture, emergency management, economic development, administration, and public safety. The awards honor innovative, effective county government programs that strengthen services for residents. The NACO Achievement Awards have recognized outstanding government programs and services since 1970, according to a news release from the Tazewell County Clerk's Office. We are extremely proud to have been recognized by our fellow county officials from throughout the nation for these programs and initiatives, said County Clerk John C. Ackerman in a news release. All of these county government departments, fellow units of government, and community organizations have worked together to deliver services that have now nationally been recognized as amongst the best in the nation, and that should be a source of great pride for Tazewell County citizens. Noteworthy programs receive awards in 18 categories that cover a range of county responsibilities. The award applications were judged by county government officials throughout the U.S. on behalf of the association, the news release said. 93 awards were presented to Illinois counties, including Tazewell, which was second only to Cook County. Other counties included DuPage, Lake, and McHenry. The awards by category are as follows: Arts, Culture, and Historic Preservation. Tazewell County Board, County Clerk, and Recorder of Deeds, Amazon and Able Monument Company, for 29th Colored Infantry Monument and State Historical Marker. County Clerk and Recorder of Deeds for Bicentennial I Voted Sticker Series and Sticker Booklet. County Clerk and Recorder of Deeds for Courthouse Self-Guided Tour and Historic Handout Stand. Pekin Community High School, County Clerk and Recorder of Deeds for Honoring the Veterans of Tazewell County. Pekin Community High School, County Clerk and Recorder of Deeds, and County Maintenance Department for Medal of Honor Shadow Box. Morton High School, County Clerk and Recorder of Deeds, and Tazewell County Veterans Assistance Commission for Tazewell County World War II Veterans Application Event. Community and Economic Development. County Clerk and Recorder of Deeds for Expansion of Veteran Honor Rewards Business Partners. County Administration and Management. County Coroner, County Clerk, and Recorder of Deeds for Death Certificates Sign-Off Procedure over Weekends and Holidays. Criminal Justice and Public Safety. County Clerk and Recorder of Deeds for Property Fraud Review and Referral Initiative. Risk and Emergency Management. Tazewell County Presiding Judge, County Clerk, and Recorder of Deeds for Election Judge Badge Initiative. Here's a statewide story from the front page, headlined, Illinois Holding Popes, $8.65. Treasurer, 1 in 4 Illinoisans have unclaimed assets. By Brendan Moore. Springfield. An estimated 1 in 4 Illinoisans have unclaimed property that is collectively worth more than $5 billion. Among those unknowingly blessed, it turns out, is arguably the state's most famous former resident. A Lee Enterprises reporter's search of the state's unclaimed property database, maintained by Illinois Treasurer Mark Frerich's office, found that a Robert Prevost of New Lenox is owed an amount under $100 from PayPal. The California-based company reported the unclaimed sum in 2023. The PayPal account belongs to the same Robert Prevost known to the world since last month as Pope Leo XIV, the first U.S.-born pontiff, Frerich's office confirmed in response to an inquiry from Lee Enterprises. The amount the Pope is in line to receive, should he make a claim? $8.65, which equals about 7.45 euros. I am happy to send $8.65 to the world's most famous White Sox fan, Frerich said in a statement. My office is truly committed to returning everyone's missing money, no matter how long it takes or what elevated title they have taken. Under state statute, the Illinois Treasurer is the custodian of unclaimed cash and property, which includes lost bank accounts, insurance policy proceeds, unpaid rebate cards, and the contents of safe deposit box, among others. These items are remitted to the office by banks and other companies after years of unsuccessful attempts to return the items to their rightful owners. Most items, including money in a PayPal account, are considered abandoned after 3 years. Under state law, they must be reported to the state treasurer's office. The program, known as iCash, was established in 1962 as a consumer protection initiative. The Illinois Treasurer's Office is currently holding about 31 million properties worth about $5 billion. A spokesperson said that about $2.3 billion in property has been returned to Illinois residents since Frerichs took office in 2015. The average claim paid in recent years is about $1,000. It was not clear what Prevost used the PayPal account for or if the pontiff plans to submit a claim. A request for comment from the Vatican Press Office was not immediately returned. Prevost was born in Chicago and raised in South Suburban Dalton. While much of his ecclesiastical career has been spent outside of the United States, he has maintained his local ties. He voted in the 2012, 2014, 2016, 2018, and 2024 elections, listing his brother's new Lenox address on his registration. And a lifelong fan of the Chicago White Sox, he was present at Wright Field for the first game of the 2005 World Series, which the Southsiders ended up winning in a four-game sweep. Prevost's unclaimed reward wouldn't get him very far at the ballpark these days, but it would be enough to buy a hot dog. "We have money for fans of the White Sox, the Cubs, and the Cardinals," Frerichs said. And even if he's a Sox fan, it seems that Robert Prevost has a lot of Cardinals who are fans of his. Illinois residents who think they might have unclaimed property can check by going to icash.illinoistreasurer.gov and clicking on the search tab. They must then enter their name and can narrow the search by adding a city or zip code. Those with a claim must then hit the claim and continue to claim buttons and then follow the steps provided. And here's another statewide story entitled Economy. Clean Energy Job Training Offers Hope, by Nara Schoenberg, Chicago Tribune. Chicago. Jordan Foley ticks off what he didn't have when he started an intensive 13-week solar job training program on the West Side. Money, a bed, clothes, food. The fear that the program wouldn't be able to help him was intense, but Foley, 31, pressed on, learning the math, science, and construction skills needed to wire and install rooftop solar panels. He took tests, drew up blueprints, and did daily physical training, push-ups, jumping jacks, and solar panel carrying exercises. And in April, his hard work paid off. He landed a job as a project administrator for a clean energy company. "It's changed my life," Foley said of the training program. "It's definitely changed my life for the better." Foley is part of the first big wave of state residents to benefit from a long-awaited network of clean energy job training hubs established under Illinois' ambitious 2021 climate law, the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act. The inclusion of job training was a major demand of environmentalists and their allies, who were determined to see Black and Latino communities share in the benefits of the clean energy economy. 11 of 16 major training hubs statewide are now up and running, training hundreds of people. Sites in central Illinois include Richland Community College in Decatur and Parkland College in Champaign. "This moment is massive," said Juliana Pino, interim co-executive director at the Little Village Environmental Justice Organization. "It's really significant because before the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act, communities had to fight very hard to even have access to job training, be respected, and understood." There were 541 students enrolled in the Workforce Hub training classes in mid-May, and 94 who had already graduated, according to the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. The program is state-funded, so it's not directly affected by President Donald Trump's attacks on renewable energy. But if opportunities in the field diminish, that could hurt graduates' job prospects, advocates said. Republicans in the U.S. Senate are currently working on a tax bill that would slash clean energy tax credits for businesses, homeowners, and consumers. The House passed a similar measure last month. Among those eligible for the free training, which comes with a stipend and support services, are energy workers who have lost their jobs, people who have been in the foster care system, and people who live in communities disproportionately burdened by pollution, and those who live in communities with high crime and incarceration rates. You're bringing in hundreds and thousands of people into the middle class, said A.J. Patton Sr., CEO and managing partner of 548 Enterprise, the parent group to the nonprofit 548 Foundation, which runs the Workforce Hub where Foley trained. This is not just a workforce program, this is a public safety program. If I can take somebody off the corner and hand them a solar panel, I've changed their life, Patton said. It's game on. Under a sky hazy with Canadian wildfire smoke, 30 men and women in hard hats and neon construction vests poured over solar panels mounted on mock roofs they had built themselves. The students were considering wiring configurations, screwing in cables, and responding to questions from solar master trainer Sam Garrard. In about a week, when the course at the 548 Foundation's Westside Workforce Hub at St. Agatha Catholic Church will conclude, the students will be able to install a solar array for a house, a car, or a shop, Garrard said. Now they're just taking all their book knowledge and their hands-on knowledge that they've acquired and using it, he said. Among the challenges, students have to do the math for solar arrays and learn the details of electrical wiring, according to graduate Cortez Hurd, now a solar installer for a local clean energy company. It definitely did get challenging, but as a young man, you've got to understand it's going to be tough, and if you are ready for what you want to do, it's game on, said Hurd, 27, of Chicago. Such job training opportunities are the product of a long, hard fight in Illinois, one that can be traced back to the state's previous climate law, the Future Energy Jobs Act of 2016. The 2016 law was, in many ways, ahead of its time, but it delivered some tough lessons to community organizers trying to make sure that Black and Brown residents got their fair share of new jobs. We got our tails kicked by labor, with many jobs and opportunities going to the relatively white construction trades, said Tony Pierce, co-pastor of Heaven's View Christian Fellowship Church in Peoria and board president of Illinois People's Action, a multi-issue faith and community organization in Bloomington. The next climate bill, environmentalists and organizers vowed, would be different. They partnered with churches and social service organizations to hold community meetings across the state and hammer out a vision for what the clean energy economy should look like. There was even a rallying cry, "No climate, no equity, no deal." In the end, Governor J.B. Pritzker, a strong supporter of climate action, stepped in to help get the bill across the finish line, and the environmentalist coalition won big. The new law not only set a goal of 100% clean energy by 2050, but invested heavily in job training for people and communities that might otherwise be left behind. There are multiple workforce training programs under the Illinois Climate Law, including ones for people seeking union apprenticeships and for people in prison. But the Workforce Hubs program is the largest, and its progress has been closely watched. More than $30 million in climate law funding has already been awarded to the Workforce Hubs, according to the state. Hope and Fear. Foley was basically homeless when a friend who works at the 548 Foundation told him about the Solar Job Training Program. He received a stipend for attending, and within a few weeks, his caseworker was able to find him a small room to rent and even a brand new bed to sleep in. "That was a blessing," he said. "From there, I took full advantage of the program." There were challenges. A relative died. Not long after, another relative also died, suddenly and prematurely. And then there was his fear of simply finishing the program. "I didn't understand what could come from it," Foley said. "I was more afraid of what happens when you have to go back to being hungry. What happens when you put in all of this energy, all of these days, and there is no one that wants to hire you. I was very terrified of that." Foley said he almost didn't take the final certification test, relenting only when Felicia Nixon Gregory, the Director of Training and Workforce Development, sat down and talked with him. And then, when he graduated, it was into a dark December for clean energy. Winter, in general, isn't a good time to get hired for solar installer jobs in Illinois. And after Trump was elected in November, some clean energy employers took a wait-and-see approach to hiring. The 548 Foundation Workforce Hub Solar Training Program initially had a job placement rate of 85%, which then dropped to about 50% and was inching back to 80% by mid-May, according to Patton. After he graduated, Foley found himself struggling to get paid what he was owed for short-term jobs. Still, he continued to work on issues he cared about, starting a youth ministry and volunteering at an environmental nonprofit. And then, when he'd almost given up on a career in solar, he got a text from a case manager at his training program about a job at Atlanta's Dimension Energy with a $65,000 to $75,000 salary, a 10% sign-on bonus, an unlimited PTO or paid time off. "I said, 'What is PTO?'" Foley recalled with a laugh. He had never heard of that. He was worried that somehow the job, which was based in Chicago, wouldn't materialize. But then he got his company computer and corporate credit card. People told him, "Don't mess this up," he said. "I was like, 'You're crazy if you think I'm going to mess any of this up,'" Foley recalled. A job at Rivian. There were high hopes for clean energy job training when the Illinois climate bill passed in 2021, and then there was frustration as year after year the workforce hubs failed to materialize. "This is one of the difficulties with having such nation-leading legislation," said Francisco Lopez Zavala, an Illinois Environmental Council Climate Policy Program associate. "There was no other state in the U.S. to really model off in the early efforts Illinois is leading in, with providing these trainings focused at the clean energy trade at such a scale, with the barrier reduction services that are offered," he said. Among the issues, some state agencies didn't initially have enough staff, Lopez Zavala said, "and even now, in some places, it's still a struggle that we're continuing to work on." Pritzker's office did not respond to a written question about workforce hub delays, but issued a statement saying in part, "The idea for the CEJA workforce hubs originated with people from marginalized communities. The hubs are proof of the value of following environmental justice principles and ensuring impacted people have a seat at the table. The services available to reduce barriers for Workforce Hub students can include childcare, bus and gas cards, and assistance with housing and food." Walter Alston, 35, of Chicago, was drawn to construction, but at the end of his 12-week program at a Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership Hub, he spread his net wider, interviewing with the electric vehicle company Rivian. He asked the questions he'd learned in the program, including ones about benefits and safety, and liked what he heard. Rivian offered him a job as a service technician, maintaining and repairing cars. He'll do 5 weeks of training in California, Arizona, Texas, or Florida, and then move to one of those states for a permanent position. I thanked RW just like a million times, Alston said of Revolution Workshop, the nonprofit that ran his training program. I thanked them, I thanked them, I thanked them. As for Foley, he has, in a sense, come full circle. When he started his solar training program, talking to graduates gave him hope that this wasn't just another career dead end. Now, he's the one with a job and a story to tell. During a recent video interview, Foley spoke from work, where he was on the road with some colleagues visiting Illinois project sites. I'm loving it, he said of his job. I'm very appreciative of where I'm at. They give me a lot of responsibility, so it's been a true life-altering experience. And here's a local item entitled, Heartland Hosting Summer Visit Day, by Matus Janik. Normal. Heartland Community College is hosting a summer visit day for those interested in exploring the school's programs and degrees in the fall semester. The event is free and open to the public and will take place from 5 to 6 p.m. Wednesday, July 16th in the Community Commons Building on the Normal Campus, 1500 West Robb Road. Visitors will be able to explore the campus, meet students, and learn about eligibility criteria for the Workforce Equity Initiative Program and the process to enroll, according to a news release. Tours and other information will be provided for over 70 academic programs, including career and technical education, liberal arts and social sciences, science, technology, mathematics, business, health sciences, and more. Information also will be available on the application and registration process, as well as financial aid and scholarships. Attendees can pre-register at visit heartland.edu or call the admissions office at 309-268-8010. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for June 26th. Please stay tuned.